I was struck with Tim, what Tim was talking about there, about the legacy that that we have a chance of leaving. And the question is, we will leave a legacy. There's no getting around that. The question is, what kind of a legacy will we leave to the people that are coming after us? And it ties in pretty well with my message this morning, because I want to talk some about the title of my message actually is A Sure Foundation. And as I was thinking of that in relation to us as dads, with what are we leaving for the people that are coming after us? And most of us know that a foundation is a very important thing. I had a friend, him and I worked for the same company in construction a number of years ago, and he bought one of the houses. It was actually a duplex that we had built from my boss. And he did a lot of the work himself and finished out, did all the trim work himself, did a lot of the painting, and he moved in, and he was in about 3 or 4 weeks, and he woke up one morning and thought something was a little strange, and he went down in the basement, and here the whole back wall of his, the basement wall of his house caved in, and was laying on the floor, all over the floor. Now, he could have said, oh, what the world, everything's okay here. The only problem I have is that a door going out to the deck doesn't open and close very well because it was sagging. But everything else seemed to be okay. He could have said, well, what in the world? I don't need to do anything with this. But no, he realized that he needed a sure foundation in his house. Even though he wasn't experiencing problems in the moment, many problems, he was going to experience problems if he didn't get that fixed. Starla's around the same time, within a few years, Starla's brother in law, her sister and husband Phil, some of you know him, they wanted to remodel their house, and their basement was a dump. So the contractor came in, jacked the house up, and dug the basement out. And while it was propped up, they had an incredible storm that came through. And in the middle of the night, the house left the foundation that it was on and was in the hole that they had dug out, and they had to start over from scratch. They just trashed the thing and built a new house because the foundation that was there gave way. The foundation gave in, and there was nothing for the house to stand on. And this morning I want to talk a little bit about that. Like I said, the title of my message is A Sure Foundation, and this came to me as just in the last number of weeks as I was thinking and praying and listening to some messages, some verses began to make sense to me in greater ways. And I want to talk about them some this morning. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He's talking here, he's writing to the Corinthians, and he's talking about some of the things that were going on in the Corinthian church. And I want to jump in verse 10, where Paul says, "According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it." And what he's saying is, I came into the church here at Corinth when there wasn't a church. I walked into the church and I laid a foundation, and someone else is building on it since I'm gone. Someone else is building on top of it. Then he says, "But let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear," or each one's teaching will become clear. "For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. But if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire." Like I said before, we all know the importance of a foundation. And And the importance that it is in a structure. I was at Jordan's house the other week, and he showed me a crack in his wall where the foundation that his house would been, or part of his house, a piece of his house, had been built on, wasn't a solid foundation, and it gave way. There's a huge crack where that moved over the period of time. And Paul is saying, like I said before, he walked into Corinth and said, I have laid a foundation, and it's a sure foundation. It's solid. In fact, he said, there's no other foundation that we can lay than Jesus Christ. That is the foundation. That's the base of all of our lives. It's a base of everything that we live our lives from. Everything that we do in our lives, what we think, what we do, how we act, everything, what we teach, what we preach, everything is from the basis and the foundation of Jesus Christ. That is the foundation. It's a sure foundation. It will never change. It will last forever. It will be for eternity. There's no changing it. It's solid. It's secure. It's there. It's there. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. There's no other foundation that we can lay. It's the foundation for our personal lives. It's the foundation for our families. It's the foundation for our church. It's the foundation for our communities. It's the foundation for our country. It's the foundation that we need to build our lives on and around. For us as people, it's the most important thing that we're called to. It's why we're here on this earth. It's your job as a dad. It's my job as a dad to lay a foundation for our children. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. And not just that, but for the people around us as well. The generations that follow us, as they look on our lives, as they look at the legacy that we have left, as Tim was talking about, what is the foundation we have left to the people coming behind? What is the foundation that we have laid? Paul said, as a master builder, I have laid a sure foundation. And that sure foundation is Jesus Christ. But Paul didn't stop there. He goes on to say, as I came into Corinth and I laid that foundation, I am no longer there. Someone else is building on the foundation I have laid. Someone else is constructing something on top of it. In verse 10, he says, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. So we have the solid foundation. Many of us here have the solid foundation of Jesus Christ in our lives. We've accepted Him. We would all say, yeah, Jesus is the foundation. But then Paul goes on and says, first of all, he's talking about the solid foundation and the importance of that, that it needs to be solid. And second of all, he says we need to be careful in what we're building on it. Those are my 2 points, by the way, if you're keeping points. I didn't bring it out in that way. He says, be careful how you're building on it. It's an important thing because some of you are going to build with materials that will last forever, gold, silver, and precious stones. But some of us are going to build on that foundation with wood and hay and stubble, stuff that's not going to last for eternity. And Paul is talking, he's bringing out two very important points. One, he's saying, first of all, make sure you lay a good foundation. And then be very careful how you build on top of it. And as I was thinking about that, you know, what are we building on top of Jesus Christ? Some of us may be building denominationalism. We may be building all kinds of things. But will that last? And I want to talk about that a little bit later on. What are we building on top of the foundation of Jesus Christ? What are we building as fathers? What are we building as church leaders in the church? What are we building on the foundation of Jesus Christ? Because some of what we build will last. But Paul is saying not all of it's going to last because some of it is made out of wood and straw and stubble. For those of you that went to Jamaica and were building down here, I'm only going on what I've heard, but I heard that there was a pretty good foundation there. But what was put on top of the slab there was a little less than desirable. And, you know, when I heard how they built that, I was like, well, no wonder when a hurricane goes through, everyone loses their house. Because what's built on the slab, on the foundation, is a few 2x4s with rebar coming up through and bent over. Isn't that right, Mark? That's how it's fastened to the slab. So when a hurricane comes through, It's 2x4s every 3 feet apart with not much holding it. And that's a picture of what Paul is saying here. You can have a firm foundation, but if you put a few 2x4s on there with not much holding it to the foundation and a little bit of tin and a few nails, it's not going to last very long. It's not going to stand in the hard stuff. It's not going to make it through the tough stuff in life. And so he's saying, be careful. Today I talked about denominationalism, but another thing is just the fads that go through Christianity. And it's one thing that I've become aware of. There's fads that go through Christianity. It's the in thing for churches to do this or that or the other thing. But as you watch them, they come and go. It's stuff that isn't lasting for eternity. It's a fad that we go through in our churches and across denominations, and it follows pretty much through. It starts and moves through, but then you go on to something else. So what are we building? What are we building on in our lives? Paul says a similar thing in 2 Timothy. He puts it in a little bit different words. 2 Timothy 2 in verse 15. Well, in this section of verses, he's talking about what makes us approved and disapproved workers. Or in other words, what makes our work what will last or what won't last. And in verse 15, he says this, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." He says, I want you to be a worker that when the storms come, when the day comes, you don't need to be ashamed of the work that you've done, because your work will stand. And then in verse 19, he says this, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows who are His. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." And really what he's coming back to is he's saying this, Jesus Christ is the foundation. The Lord's the foundation. That is the foundation, the solid foundation. It will stand sure, but the iniquity in our hearts isn't going to. That's not going to last. That's not going to stand. He says, depart from iniquity. And then he goes on in verse 20 and says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. So some of the vessels, the gold and the silver, are going to last. They're honorable vessels. The wood and the clay aren't. And in verse 21, he says, therefore cleanse yourself from the latter. Or in other words, the things in our lives that we're building with on this foundation, the things that we're building with that aren't honorable, we need to get rid of. We need to get rid of them in our lives because they're not going to last. He will be a vessel of honor, sanctified, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. And then he goes into a list of things. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness. And he lays out a list of things, what's the gold and what's not. What's the wood and the clay? He goes through a whole list. He said, flee youthful lusts. That's not honorable. Pursue righteousness, that is, faith, love, peace, with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. That's not going to last. Our little debates on eschatology and how the Lord is going to return and all those kind of things that we fight about in our churches, that's not going to last. Avoid those kind of disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And the servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach and patient. And really what Paul is unpacking, exactly what he did in the other verses. Here's the foundation, the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, and then he talks about the things that we use to build on top of that foundation. Jesus says a similar thing in Matthew, a little bit different words. Matthew 7. Verse 24, and we know these verses very well. And they're in the context, the verses right before it, he said, some will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, and I'll say to them, I never depart from me, I never knew you. That's the context. And then in verse 24, he says, Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be likened to a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Jesus narrows things down a little bit in this teaching. He's assuming that people know that he's the foundation. And he talks about what we're building on top of it in two ways. He said, he who hears my word and does it will have a house on a firm foundation that will last, so that when the storms come and the winds blow and beat on it, it's going to stand. But the person that hears the word of God and doesn't do it, is not obedient, it's going to be like a house that's made of straw, built on the sand. There's no foundation, and as soon as the storm comes, as soon as something happens, they cave in. It's a pretty staggering thought. But I like how these verses play together. They're building on each other. When tough times come, what is our house built on? What is our life built on? Not only the foundation, we can say, well, I have a good foundation, but what have we put on top of it? Is it like the house in Jamaica, that as soon as the wind blows, it's gone? What are we building on that foundation so that when the tough times come, we have something that's solid? And really what Jesus is saying, so how we build with gold and silver and precious stones is to hear his word and to be obedient. That's what Jesus boils it down to. As we hear his word, whether it's from the scripture or him speaking to our hearts, as we hear it and it becomes alive in us, we have to obey it. That's how we build with gold and silver and precious stones. In fact, two things happen when we hear the word of God and don't follow through. And actually, the first one is the word is taken away. In Matthew 13:19, it says, when anyone hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. And let me explain that verse a little bit. When he talks about he who hears the word and does not understand it, we think of that as understanding it in our minds. But to those people that he was talking to, it meant that they, to understand it, you just didn't think it through in your minds and come up with an idea of how it worked and how it flowed. To understand it, you had to experience it. And it meant that you experienced it with the five senses. And so really, you had to do it. If you were going to understand the Word of God, you had to do it. It's not something you just, oh yeah, well that makes sense because this verse connects with that verse and yeah, I understand how we need to be saved. No, the understanding that he's talking about is that we've experienced it. We've done it. We've obeyed it. We've followed through with it. That's the understanding. So the Word of God, as the Word of God is sown, if we don't pick it up and follow through with it, Satan comes like the birds and snatches it out of our hearts. Let me put it in practical terms. How many of you, I know my hand's raised here because it has happened many, many times in my life as I was thinking about this. How many of you were in a meeting that you knew God was speaking to your heart in incredible ways? And you said, oh, well, yeah, I'll do that. Maybe you went forward. But you never acted on the word of God that was placed in your heart and God speaking to your heart. You've never acted on it. And in about 3 months, you forgot all about it. What happened in those moments? Satan came right in. This is Jesus talking. This isn't me. And snatched that word away. Because we didn't act on it. We didn't experience the word of God. It made sense in our hearts. We heard God speaking, it made sense in our minds, but we never acted on it. We didn't follow through. We didn't experience it. We didn't understand it. And the Word of God is snatched from us. and 3 months, maybe in another 6 months, we hear it and we say, oh yeah, well, God spoke to me like that before. He said the same thing before. Yeah, I'll do that. And in about 3 months, we've forgotten totally about it again. How many of you have been there? I know I have many times in my life. And many times, a lot of times, what people will say in this, oh, we responded out of emotion. I don't believe that. I believe we can respond out of emotion. And when reality hits, it changes. But I think the truth of what's going on is God's spoken to our hearts. We've let the Word sit there on hard ground. And the Word of God is snatched away out of our lives. So that's the first thing that happened. The second goes right along with it. When that happens, we develop a form of religion, but no power. We develop a form of religion, but no power. The Word of God is laying there in our hearts. It's laying there. It's in our minds. We know it. We can quote Scripture all day long. We can explain Scripture. We can explain Christianity. We can do all kinds of stuff. But the Word of God and Christianity becomes a form in our life, and there's no power there. And the reason is because we have not picked up and been obedient to the Word of God. We've allowed Satan to come in and snatch that Word away out of our hearts so it doesn't bear fruit, as it talks about in those verses. There's no fruit being born. It's a part of our minds. We know it. And when it becomes a form with no power, we say things like this. Oh, that was so good, I wish Kent would hear it. Or I wish Mark Smucker would get a hold of this one. Or Jordan really needs to hear this message. He really needs to get a hold of this thing. Because I heard it and I have it in my mind, but I'm not living it out any more than he is. But he needs to get a hold of that. And it becomes a form of religion for us. But there's no power for us to carry out the Word of God that he's placed in our heart, what he's calling us to, what he's asking us to do in our lives. It's a form with no power. So bringing it home. For us today. I want to say one story. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. It hasn't been in the past, but it's rapidly becoming one of my favorite stories. It's in 2 Chronicles 20. And I might read just a few verses, but it's a story where Jehoshaphat had a whole number of armies, a number of countries had banded together, and they came out to war against Jehoshaphat. And in verse 2 it says, some people came to told Jehoshaphat that they were coming. Verse 3 it said, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And then it goes on and talks about how all of Judah, the women, children, everybody got together, fasted and prayed because this whole host of people were coming against them, and physically it was impossible for them to win this battle. It was absolutely impossible. The numbers were stacked against them too great. And in verse 6, he then says this, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And jumping down a little bit later, he says, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And in reality, as you read down through here, what he is doing is exactly what we've been talking about. He's laying the foundation, a solid foundation, that God is God. And there's nothing we can do. Our eyes are on you. He lays the foundation. And then it says in verse 13, now all Judah with their little ones and their wives and their children stood before the Lord. And then the Spirit of the Lord came upon a guy, and he started talking. And in that, he said, tomorrow you guys go down as in battle. Array yourself for battle. Go down. Go out into battle. But you're not going to have to fight. I'm going to take care of it for you. And so Jehoshaphat said, yeah, this is great. And so the next morning they got up and they went out of the city. They all went into battle. And as they went into battle, he was following what God told him to do, and he arranged the singers. Now, what kind of a battle strategy is that? Most times you put your valiant men and your best men in front going out to battle, but he didn't. He got the choir and the singers instead of the guys that were bearing swords, and they walked in front and started singing as they went out to battle. And as they started singing, God did an incredible thing. He turned the armies against each other, and when the Israelites got there, they were all dead. And it took them 3 days just to strip the gold and the stuff off of their bodies, to take the spoil from them. It took them 3 days. And we look at that, and in a human sense, it's ridiculous. Why would you send a bunch of singers out in front of your army? But I want to call us to the attention. He laid the foundation. He said, Lord, our eyes are on you. You are our foundation. He built on it by being obedient then to what God told him to do. And as you look through the stories of the Old Testament, a lot of it comes back to that. Jesus, or God, as our foundation, and then how we build on top of that. And that building is obedience to Jesus Christ and what he's asking us to do in our lives. So what about us today, and how does this apply in dads, us as dads? Two things. First of all, our most important job that we can do is to lay a solid foundation for our children. Not just for our children, but for people around us. That they look at, as they look at us, they know that our lives are built on a solid foundation, a firm foundation. And the second thing, the best thing we can do to teach and train our children then is to build on top of that with things that last. And I was just thinking throughout, what are some practical things in our lives? And we could go many different directions. But you know what? I've been taught a lot of things in my past. And they're good things. I've been taught how to work hard and to be honest. Those are all good things. Well, honesty is definitely a good thing. But we've been taught lots of good things. I've been taught about our Mennonite heritage and our faith. And that's an okay thing. But if that's what my house is built on, when the storms come, and let me say this, if you want to know why we see so much religion around us, it's because of this. Religion happens, and I've talked about this before, but I want to put it in different words. Religion happens when we hear the word of God and we don't obey it. And you want to know why so many people are palling out of Christianity today? It's the same thing. We've heard the word of God, we haven't obeyed, and Jesus said when the storms come, when life gets tough and hard, whether that's peer pressure, whether that's the sickness we're going through, whether it's the financial struggle we're going through, whatever that pressure is, but when the pressure comes, if we haven't built with gold and precious stones, gold, silver, and precious stones, we're going to cave when the pressure comes in. And we can sit here, we've talked some, I preached a message just recently about we're in a post-Christian America. Well, the reason we are is because people are bailing because the times are getting tough. The peer pressure is getting too tough. The things that we're living with is getting too tough. And Jesus is saying it comes from the fact that we've heard the word and we haven't followed up on it. We haven't obeyed it. We haven't made it a part of our lives. And that's where religion comes from as well. So for us as dads, what are we building on in our children? Are we teaching them things that when the tough stuff comes, when the tough time comes, when they go through the hard things in life, first of all, they have a foundation that is secure and solid and fast and won't let them down. And beyond that, what's built on top of that is the solid stuff of life. It's not going to be that I've taught them to work good, work hard, and to be, those are all good things, but that's going to let them down. It's our faith in Jesus Christ, and it's being able to look at him and say, God, what do I do in this situation? Not just work myself harder and work my way out of it. God, what do I do in this situation? And then be obedient to Him and follow through. We have to get beyond and build our lives, first of all our lives, but then the lives of our children and the people after us. Then we will have a legacy that people can look back and say, wow, his life was built on a firm foundation. But not only that, what he built on top of it will last forever because it's built out of gold and silver and precious stones. And, you know, sometimes as a dad, I get overwhelmed. But as I boil it down to those two things, it seems a lot easier. It seems a lot easier for me to lay a foundation of Jesus Christ if I can keep that in my head. And then to just guide them through building good stuff on top of it. Because that can be a little difficult because there's so much that we think is good, but that is really just wood and hay and stubble. There's not much to it. But if we can boil that down, I think we as dads can be effective in our children's lives. And I want to encourage us as dads here this morning. We got an incredible job, and it's a good job. It's not, and it's one that can impact lives for eternity. And I'm glad that we have a chance to do that as dads here today. And I want to encourage us, what is our foundation? What's the foundation that we have laid, like Paul said? And what are we building? What are we using to build on top of that? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for these verses in Scripture. And sometimes it's good to come back to the very basics. The basics of what living life really is all about. And Lord, I believe you have called us and warned us to make sure that we've laid a good foundation, that it's solid and strong and secure, and that foundation is you, Jesus Christ, and you as Lord of our lives. But Lord, help us then to be wise in how we build on top of that, what we're constructing on top. Lord, I think if we're honest as men here today, we can all realize that we've built with some wood and some hay and some stubble in different areas of our lives. But Lord, many of us here can say, no, we've built some good things as well. And as we reflect on that, we can look at some of the gold and the silver and the precious stones. And Lord, I thank you for that, that we can have that encouragement here today. And Father, help us as men, as fathers, to know how to continue to build on that foundation. And direct us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.